Hello, our darklings. This is Auda Titties and Clitorosities podcast. I am your ghostess, Christy Kroll, here with the finally alive and well best friend of mine, Ashley Key.
Hello.
How are you feeling, Ash?
Better.
Good.
Better. Not 100%.
Yeah.
But, you know, the plague doctor stopped by and fixed me up just right, and then...
So kind.
Yeah. And then left. Left me with a bit of a cough and a sore throat, but, you know.
He's like, I'll boop you with my little beak, but, like, the rest is on you.
Yeah, yeah. Pretty much.
I'm glad you're at least, you know, alive.
Yes, yeah. No, I was worried there for a second. Like, my breathing, I gave myself an upper respiratory infection because I tore up carpet, like cheaply made carpet, in my house, in one of my rooms, because I'm painting all my floors black.
It's so metal.
I'm so excited. And
I love how you just, like, jumped over that sentence before I had the opportunity to make another lesbian joke about tearing up a carpet. I feel like a third time making that joke would have been the charm, but, you know, just cut me off at the pass.
So, anywho, no, I gave myself, like, 2 days after I ripped up the carpet in my fucking living room, I got an upper respiratory infection.
I'm glad you're feeling better. Yeah. I was very worried about you.
Yeah, it hit my lungs pretty hard.
Just a little bit. Just a little bit. I mean, you know you've reached a new level of sick when you have to, like, pawn your friend's inhaler off of her. We some wheezy bitches. God.
I know. It was crazy. And then they gave me steroids, and I was allergic to the fucking steroids. Yeah. So I had to quit taking those.
You kind of turned into, like, the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was a fucking rage monster at the same time.
I am aware of the rage monster.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it's taken me, like, it always takes me, however long I'm on the steroids, it always takes me almost three times that to let it all wear off.
Yeah.
And I'm still super high strung, and I was only on it for 2 fucking days.
You poor thing.
Oh, that's crazy.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. We have this, though, to break it up.
It's spooky story day, guys.
Spooky story day.
We missed the Darklings last week, but we're back and not quite better than ever, but we'll get there.
Better than we were last week.
Indubitably.
Yes.
So we've got a little something fun today. I'm going to be reading a cool found spooky story as per usual. And then Ash has a little surprise for us.
Yeah. Speaking of cool things, remember last episode we had mentioned that we were going to do something really exciting, and then we never told them at the end of the episode, like I promised.
Oh, because our ADD train derailed?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, last episode, we had told y'all that we're going to do a really cool, like, episode coming up soon, and it was a surprise. Well, now the time for the surprise is here.
And behind curtain number one,
we are reading a spooky story episode in the woods at night.
Not here. Not right now. Not presently. Not
no.
This episode.
Next episode.
Next spooky stories episode.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm so excited.
Night, 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 night. Any SpongeBob fans out there? Can I get a hoopla?
They did it. I feel it myself.
I felt it.
Yeah.
Yeah. There are darklings in the world presently going, hoopla.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I believe you.
I am so stoked for our spooky stories in the dark, in the woods.
Man, do I have some stories in store for you. I can't wait. So, my parents live on some acreage out in South Texas. So, we are... I'm gonna go sit in the middle of the woods in an old deer blind. So we're up off the ground, which is important because there are hogs or kind of a nuisance out there, and there's a lot of coyotes, and we're right, like, almost, we're probably about mid-season, the middle of the beginning of breeding season for coyotes right now, so there's going to be a lot of coyotes out there, too.
Oh, man, a bunch of bitches.
Yeah, they're going to be very loud.
Do you think female coyotes are bitches like female dogs are?
I would say probably, yeah. Hmm.
It's definitely worth googing.
Yeah. But yeah, so I'm super fucking excited about that. It's going to be creepy. That one's going to be...
It's going to be spook really, fest.
Yeah.
I've been trying to assemble quality content to read.
Yeah.
And
I mean, because even driving out there, like, it's a good... Maybe... quarter mile to a half mile from the road back to the house.
Oh, so it's quiet.
Oh, yeah. And you have to, like, drive through. You do have one house on one side, but that's back in the trees. And then you have another house that's even further back in the trees that you can't see. But, like, whenever you're driving back there, it's pitch black. There's no street lights. And you're driving into, like, just trees. It's going to be spooky.
So, en route, we need to listen to the Candyman soundtrack.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a vibe.
Yeah.
Right on.
I know, it's going to be exciting. Eek! I can't wait to hear your story today, though.
Oh my gosh, mine is really fun. So
awesome.
It is a little lengthy, but it's not like, I wouldn't classify it as a girthy boy.
Perfect. Let's get to it.
Right on. One day, whenever we have our microphones, it's finally going to pick up on all of the funny sounds that our bodies make.
Do you think so?
I hope so. Oh, I hope I hope it picks up on cat noises better.
Yeah.
But minimizes dog noises.
Yes.
Tell me I'm a cat person without telling me I'm a cat person. Okay. Today's story is called Sweet Treats by Elliot Moss. The alarm rang through the house, startling Marcy to her feet. She hurried to the door, only to find Ariel standing in the threshold. Marcy let out an exasperated sigh and shut off the alarm. "Ariel, you gave me a heart attack. What are you doing?" The 10-year-old looked up at her and smiled, holding up a frazzled Barbie doll. "I left her in the garden." "You should have told me," Marcy said, pushing the door closed and resetting the alarm. "It's after dark." Ariel pouted. "I'm sorry, Marcy. Please don't be mad at me." Marcy pursed her lips, then pinched the girl's cheek. "I'm not mad. Come on, you want to watch a movie before bed?" Ariel immediately perked back up. "Yes, please." Marcy was into her third hour at the Altman house when little Ariel Altman to babysit. She was an only child, and while a bit unusual, soft-spoken and kind. Marcy felt this was going to be an easy night and hopefully a regular client. Her mother, Stacy, heard of Marcy through a friend of a friend's sister and excitedly called in desperate need for a babysitter. Miss Altman was preparing for a date when Marcy arrived, touching up ruby-red lipstick in the hall mirror. "There's money for pizza or whatever you gals want," Stacy told her through the mirror. "No sweets after 6, bedtime at 10, since it's not a school night." "You got it," Marcy replied, smiling. "And you'll be home, if this goes well, by midnight. If not, probably in 30 minutes. And she laughed while throwing the lipstick in her purse. Marcy chuckled along with her. "Well, I hope all goes well, ma'am, and Ariel is in good hands with me." Stacy turned to her and smiled, teeth pearly white against her fresh, blood-red lips. "Wonderful. Ariel, come meet Marcy." The little girl came bounding down the stairs, a doll gripped in her hands. Marcy inspected the girl's pin-straight blonde hair and brown eyes, so dark they seemed black. Ariel stopped in front of her. "Now, Ariel, you be good for Marcy." A horn honked outside, stopping Stacy mid-sentence. "I love you, baby. Mommy will see you in the morning." Okay, first of all, can we pause? I'd be freaking pissed if my date rolled up and just honked the horn for me to come out.
Right. So I think it made me laugh whenever she was all like, if all goes well, like before midnight, if not 30 minutes.
The minute I heard that, I would have heard that horn honk, I would have been like, well, guess it didn't go right.
Just kidding. Guess I'm not leaving.
Psych. I love you, baby. Mommy will see you in the morning. Not wanting to risk her lipstick, Stacy blew an air kiss and hurried to the door. Good night, mother, Ariel called back. Stacy grabbed her coat from the coat rack by the door and was gone. In the 3 hours Marcy had been with Ariel, all had gone well. The two worked smoothly together, eating pizza covered in mushrooms and olives, tidying up Ariel's playroom, and picking out pajamas for after her bath. However, as the sun had set and the stars peeked from their inky hiding spot, Ariel began to act strange. First, she had picked a peculiar movie for a young girl, one with blood and guts and screams of terror. Okay.
I mean, that tracks
up. Right, like, okay, but, I mean, that was what I picked.
Welcome to our podcast, Ariel.
Hey, Ariel, I hope you're listening. Are you sure your mom lets you watch this? Marcy asked, hiding behind her hands. Oh, yes, all the time. We usually laugh at them together, Ariel responded.
Same.
Relatable. Eyes glued to the movie, lips turned into a wanting smile. Right, laugh, Marcy mumbled. She had never been too fond of horror movies, not even when her longtime crush, the dreamy Zachary Bates, asked her out to see Guts 3, The Reckoning.
Guts 3. I'm sorry, that got me.
Guts 3.
That sounds like not a horror movie. That sounds like a horror movie.
It does. It does. Yeah.
Yeah. Take that. <don't. laughs> That's funny. Man.
The idea of him was tantalizing. The movie? Absolutely not. After the fifth slashing scene, Marcy stood up abruptly and cut the movie off. All right, bath time, she spewed out. Ariel whined. But we were getting to the good part. Come on now, it's almost your bedtime. Marcy gently pulled Ariel to her feet. That seemed to excite the girl, whose whine and pout turned into a smile of delight. Right! She nearly plowed Marcy down on the way to her room to retrieve her pajamas. Marcy had a chill along her spine as she followed, rubbing her arms in an attempt to warm herself. It's just the movie, she thought, biting on her lip. Ariel was old enough to not need assistance in the bath, so Marcy began straightening the room as she waited. Ariel was without wanting, that was for sure. Luxurious dolls adorned the shelves, lovely dresses hung in the closet, and pictures on top of pictures littered the walls of Ariel and her mom in different destinations across the world. As Marcy cleaned, she found a dirty green scrunchie on the floor. It didn't seem to belong in the bright pink, flawless room. Marcy picked it up, carefully stretching it between her fingers. She noticed curly red hair knotted in the tie and furrowed her brows. Just then, Ariel bounced into the room, pajamas on and a brush in hand. Marcy stuffed the scrunchie in her pocket, looking over at her. All done? She asked. Yep, you can brush my hair? Mother always does before bed, Ariel explained, sitting on her bed. Sure, Marcy said, sitting behind her and taking the brush. She carefully began brushing through Ariel's damp hair, and the girl hummed a soft tune. Side note, licensed cosmetologist here, do not brush your hair when it's wet, because your hair is, like, 50% more elastic whenever wet, and you can actually, like, stretch it out and cause your hair to lose its bounce. So don't do that. Comb it with a wide-tooth comb. Okay, thank you.
I'm sorry.
The air in the room felt as though it dropped a few degrees. Marcy shuddered, murmuring, I may need to find you some extra blankets tonight. Oh no, I'll be all right. Ariel turned to her and smiled. Thank you, I'm tired. She yawned, pulling her covers back. Marcy stood shaking her head. Yeah, okay. She set the brush down on the bedside table, then helped Ariel under the blankets. Do you need anything before I turn the lights out? No, Ariel answered. Goodbye, Marcy. Marcy let out an awkward giggle, tucking the girl in. Good night, Ariel. Good night. Ariel only smiled. Right. Marcy had an uneasy feeling in her gut as she clicked the night light on, trudged to the door, and looked back at Ariel. The child was still smiling, eyes closed. Marcy swallowed, flicking the light off and quietly pulling the door half shut. It was almost immediately Marcy felt as though someone was watching her. She made her way back to the kitchen, fixing herself a glass of water. As she sipped on it, she checked to make sure all of the windows were locked and secure. Something still did not feel right. The damn movie, she huffed under her breath, downing her water. A loud thud sounded above her. Marcy froze, gripping the glass tight. Thunk, thud. Her heart leapt into her throat. Quietly, she set the glass down and inched towards the stairs. Up them she went, praying it was just Ariel playing a prank on her. At the top of the stairs, she saw something that made her blood run cold. At the end of the hallway stood a shadowy figure, its head peering into Ariel's room. Hey! Get away from there! Marcy shouted, reaching for her phone. Nothing. Damn it, it must be downstairs. The figure turned suddenly towards her, its face now visible. Marcy stifled her scream as she saw decaying flesh and rotten bone. The figure lurched towards her. The scream fought its way from her as she took off running. Down, down, down the stairs she flew, hearing the lumbering footsteps of the creature behind her. Into the kitchen she went, yanking a knife from its block and whirling around to find nothing. Her breath ripped from her lips, eyes darting around frantically. Get out of this house! I'll kill you, I swear! Marcy cried, her palm growing clammy around the knife's wooden handle. A shriek emerged from upstairs. Help me! Ariel, hold on, I'm coming! Knife still in hand, Knife still in hand, Marcy raced back up the stairs, following the girl's screams. Throwing herself into the room, she found it to be empty. Ariel, she whisper shouted. Ariel, where are you? Marcy heard the sickening thump again. She dove into the closet, pressing her back against the wall under the dresses hanging from the rack. Her heart pounded in her ears, eyes clouded with tears and sweat. Thunk, thud. Her eyes widened, slapping a hand over her mouth. Please, please let Ariel be all right, was all she thought. After a moment, the sounds ceased and all was silent. Marcy waited before slowly standing up. Something crunched under her foot. Fumbling in the dark closet, Marcy found the chain. As light flooded the small closet, Marcy swallowed down her shouts of surprise. Crushed under her foot was a pocket mirror splattered with blood. Beside that was a pair of rounded glasses, bent and cracked. Near that was a locket hanging open. The three items were tagged. Marcy gently picked up the mirror, reading the small tag. Jillian Holmes, 17, November 2022. Marcy's blood filled with more terror looking at the tag on the glasses. Rebecca Worthington, 16, December 2022. Dread filled every bone in Marcy's body as she read the third tag. Emily Bassett, 16, January 2023. A scream ripped from the silence. Marcy dropped the items, pushing the door to the closet open to find the creature standing before her. Marcy shrieked, stumbled back. The creature was even more hideous up close, flesh sagging from its bones, maggots and flies curling around its pus-filled wounds. A horrible stench invaded her nose, a smell of death and decay. It didn't happen instantly. She fought and cried and screamed, begging mercy for the young girl who she hoped was hiding. As the creature tore Marcy's still beating heart from her chest, the last warm breath leaving her spattered lips, she thought only of Ariel. Marcy Bigby, 18, February 2023. Ariel giggled as she taped the tag to the phone. Stacy sighed and rubbed her eyes. "I don't understand why you must keep these trophies," she said to her daughter. "Because I like remembering," Ariel replied. "Fine, just hide them well in case the police come snooping around." "Of course, Mother." Stacy left the room, not bothering with the bloody carpet or walls until the morning. Ariel hummed as she placed all her trinkets into her jewelry box. "I'm glad you still play with me, brother," Ariel murmured. "I missed you, and this is even more fun when you're dead." The poor creature lay full in the child's treehouse, watching the house through the small makeshift window in the wood. It smiled a toothless grin at its sister's room. Ariel.
What the fuck?
I know!
That's fucking weird.
Wasn't that weird as hell?
I at first, like, towards the end, I thought that maybe she was the, you know, the creature. But to the guy, just the dead brother, that's...
It's very...
I don't like that.
Because, like, whenever... Because the first time I read it, I was very much like, ew, okay, so she's got this, like, dark thing in the house. And I know that, you know, children are more open to things. And yeah. So I thought it had just, like, attached itself to her.
Right.
But then whenever it got to the part about it being her brother, I was like, well, that was a little whisper out of left field.
Right. I mean, I wasn't... That was literally... I would have not expected that. I was expecting either, you know, that she was that creature, like, to feed on the babysitters. I thought it was going to have something to do with... her getting candy like a fucking gremlin. Like, she couldn't get candy after six, and so, like, no, she was gonna, like... Because, you know, she said no sweets after
six. No sweets after six.
She was gonna sneak it was gonna be, like, 6:10 and turn into this, like, murderous creature. Exactly.
Yeah.
So, wow, that's wild. That's a good story.
So her... this dead brother... monster creature ghost thing is living in her treehouse and feasting on her babysitters.
Delicious.
So, Ash, you have something a little special today.
Yeah. So I haven't really been, well, one, I was sick, and two, I haven't really been finding any stories online that I just really liked. Mm-hmm. So mine's not necessarily scary. I mean, it'll be creepy to some people, but I figured that I'm going to tell some personal ghost stories.
Hell yes.
Yeah. So I'm going to tell some personal ghost stories.
I'm here for every second of this. I mean, in more ways than one. I mean, I have to be. I'm your co-host.
Yeah.
But,
I mean, but you don't have to be.
I want to be.
Okay. There you go.
Oh, I'm dropping beans. I am...
slippery little beans.
Slippery beans.
We found trolley jelly beans.
So we're...
sitting here eating them.
We're feasting. Jelly bean life is a good one.
Yeah, so speaking of dead brothers...
Aww.
So, it was interesting that you had a dead brother story, a dead ghost brother story, because that's where I can start, is with my dead brother ghost.
We love him.
Or dead ghost brother?
Dead brother's ghost.
Dead brother's ghost, yeah. So, we'll start his little saga. He passed away. He was a year and a month old, and he passed away, and I was seven. Yes, I was seven.
Hail Wade.
Yes. Little redhead Wade. So the week after he passed away, my mom obviously was broken up. So she stayed at my grandmother's house. So it was my father and I. We stayed at the house and I was sleeping in my bedroom. He was sleeping in his bedroom. Again, I was 7 years old. Mm-hmm. I've never had an issue sleeping, like, all throughout the night. I absolutely cherish my fucking sleep, and I have since I was a kid. So,
same. My mom never had to tell me twice that it was bedtime. I'm like, bet.
Well, I would get excited at the end of the day and tell a whole bunch of stories, but once my ass laid down and, like, I was out, I was not waking back up. Like, so, it's in the middle of the night, and I'm sleeping, and I roll over because I feel something at the end of the bed, and I roll over, and there is this hazy brown, short kid figure at the end of my bed, and I panic, right? Because I'm a kid, right? So I panic, and I roll back over and, like, try to ignore it. But then, like, I slowly rolled back over and looked again, and you still saw this figure. It was very, very hazy. You could tell that it was a kid in overalls, and that was it. Like, you couldn't really tell a whole lot of anything else. But it was, like, a brown, really brown, like, grainy, like, foggy child. So I jump up, and I run into my dad's room. And we lived, it was like right at 46 acres is where we lived. We lived out in that area on a lot of land. And it was a little rougher, like little, I guess you can't call it a neighborhood, but the street was a little rough at like the front of the street. There was a lot of crime up there. And so I ran over to my dad, and 7 years old at like 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm like, Daddy, Daddy, there's a little brown man in my room.
Oh my God.
So my dad jumps up in his tidy whities and grabs his rifle and is furiously running around the house and running around the outside of the house trying to find the little brown man that's in my bedroom.
The shotgun and the tidy whities.
Shotgun and tidy whities. And my dad has, like, a really thick porn stash, too, so that's just gonna...
Oh, my God. The white trash just gets whiter.
This is my upbringing.
It's like... That's, like, big uncle energy.
Yeah.
Like, bush drinking uncle energy.
So that was the first time that I had ever seen this creature, right? This creature, this entity, this, and I just thought, you know, my dad ran around, obviously couldn't find anything.
Well, I couldn't see it past the mustache.
I know. And so, you know, went back to sleep, whatever. Didn't see anything for a little while. I would say probably 3 or 4 months, because my little brother, Corey, he was born, and he was probably a month old whenever I saw, like, I was awake, I was walking through the house, and he was standing in front of my door, and that was Wade, right?
Oh, honey.
Now, it was crazy because he didn't walk. Like, whenever he was alive, he was just, like... He couldn't sit up. He couldn't do anything. He would just lay there and, like, kick with his hands, or kick with his feet and move his hands. He stands in front of my doorway still to this day. Like, he's there. He's just always there. Well, so once I saw him then, I've just always kind of seen him throughout my life, like, moving from house to house to house. Well, my other people in my family started seeing him, like, slowly.
Special.
Yeah. So there was one time we had moved from the house in the middle of the country to a house right next to the high school. I'm sitting on the floor. It's early in the morning. My mom's French braiding my hair. And at the end of our living room, so we're sitting against the wall in the middle of the living room. Right? Does that make sense?
Yes.
So we're sitting on the floor. And to my right is a huge floor-to-ceiling mirror. Because the house was built in the 70s. So it's all mirror.
Oh, my God. I'm obsessed.
Yes.
Did it have glitter ceilings?
I don't think so.
Oh.
If it did, my mom straight up would have sponge painted it with, like, the white and blue. Like, you know, that eggshell looking like country. Back with white trash. So, because I do know we had white and blue checkered couches.
Oh, I believe it.
Yeah.
Gotta love gingham, baby.
So, on one side, we had the floor-to-ceiling mirror. And then on my left was the foyer area. So, there was the front door on one side of the doorway. And then the rest of the house on the other side of the doorway. Right? So, she's sitting there. She's French braiding my hair. And out of the corner of my eye, I see a figure run from the main house to the doorway, right? I know from all the times I've seen him, I knew it was Wade. Same height and everything. Still wearing his little overalls and like a red and green, like little striped little shirt. So my mom's sitting there and she's doing my hair. And I see the little figure run from main house out of my left eye from the main house straight to the doorway, right? And so, of course, I whip my head over to look, and my mom gets pissed because I have ADHD, so I was a jerky little child, and she was telling me, like, you know, to pay attention, like, stop looking over there. So I told her, Mom, I just saw Wade, like, and she's, no, you didn't. You didn't see anything. So, whatever. So I'm sitting there, she's doing my hair, and oh, I can God. See
Does
her.
Does your mom listen to our podcast?
I don't think so. She tries to get some of her friends to listen to it.
I was going to say, oh my God, you just mocked your mom?
Oh, I mock my mom all the time.
Oh, okay.
That's yeah. To be fair, it's not hard to mock her because we sound exactly the same.
Okay.
Fair. I'm just a lot more vulgar than she is.
I was just like, ooh, you're going to get in trouble again.
Again, right. So I'm sitting there and she's doing my hair after she's yelling at me. And I'm watching her in the mirror because I'm thinking that if I can see him run, you know, again in the mirror in the doorway, I can see in this mirror.
Right.
Right? So I'm watching the doorway and I'm watching her. And then all of a sudden, you see the movement again of the figure running from the main house to the doorway. And my mom's head whips over to the doorway. And I was like, you saw him. Like, you saw it. You saw it. You saw it. I know you
I
did.
I saw you saw it.
I know. I saw you seeing it. Like, so that's when Mom saw him. And I don't know if that was the first time, but that was whenever she was like, okay, maybe, you know. So then Corey, when we were in another house, my little brother, he was maybe 5. Yeah, he had to have been maybe 5. So I was 13. Mom had him sitting up on the countertop in the bathroom brushing his teeth. Casey was alive, but she was like a wee baby still in a crib. She couldn't walk or anything. First thing in the morning. And we had a long hallway that connected all the bedrooms, right? So you have the kids' bedroom on one side, a bathroom in the middle, my bedroom, and then Mom and Dad's room. So we're all in the bed, in the bathroom in the middle. Corey's sitting on the counter brushing his teeth. I'm brushing my teeth. And then all of a sudden, Corey yells for Casey. He's like, Casey, come here. And my mom's like, Corey, stop. Like, he's sleeping. And he goes, nah, Mama, she just walked down the hallway.
Oh.
And I just looked at Mom and I was like, It's Wade, I'm telling you. So, yeah.
I love that he still comes to see y'all.
Oh, yeah, all the time. He's followed me to every house that I've been in. He has followed me whenever I've stayed at places for more than a couple of days. He's followed me there. And it's just Wade. For me, he usually just stands in front of the doorway. Every once in a while, you'll see him, like, I'll see him out of the corner of my eye. But he'll just stand in front of a doorway just being fucking creepy.
I feel like Wade totally would have grown up to be a creepy kid.
For sure.
100%.
For sure. He's redhead, so yeah. Soulless.
I had no idea that Wade was a little ginger snap.
Mm-hmm.
I love that so much.
Yeah. Redhead, super pale, with freckles everywhere.
Oh, baby.
Yeah, a little Michelin Man baby. He was chunky. He was chunkier than Corey was when Corey was born. So, then we can do one more.
Oh my God.
And I think I've already talked about him a little bit. My mattress ghost.
I know I've heard of the mattress ghost. I don't remember if we have talked about mattress ghosts. That goes back to season one.
Yeah.
But I don't even know where.
I know. So we'll talk about it again.
Yeah, please do.
So my mattress ghost, the reason I call him that is because, I acquired him while living at a house with my ex-girlfriend. We were looking for a house to buy, and there was this one house that I just kind of liked, but I wasn't, like, super sold on in all the pictures. There were definitely better houses. Walked into this house, and I immediately fell in love with it. Just the feeling, like, I had never, since I moved out of my parents' house at 15 years old, I had never felt at home, you know, until I walked into that house. The whole time I was staying there, you know, I would see Wade still occasionally, but other than that, everything was very quiet. It was very peaceful. I'm used to, like, if I don't spiritually turn myself off, sometimes it sounds like whenever I close my eyes, it sounds like I'm in the middle of a high school cafeteria. Mm-hmm. That house, it never happened like that, you know? I loved it. I did find out that, or I did realize that, you know, I would be wanting to spend, like, more and more time at the house. Like, I never wanted to leave. I just kind of wanted to stay in bed, you know? I want to stay in bed and watch TV, and it got me more and more secluded to the house, and I thought it was just my depression. It was towards the end of my the end of that relationship, you know? There were a few times that I had two of my friends come over and watch the house, and we had a really big bathtub and a huge master bathroom. And so I was telling my friends, you know, like, y'all can go in there and use that bathtub, and my bath bombs and everything, because I had, like, a whole little section set up.
Oh, how dreamy.
Yeah, and she said that she tried to once, and she felt like something was watching her from my closet and couldn't do it after that. So, and I was shocked because I had never felt anything in that house. So then, fast forward to the breakup. Breakup happens. About 3 weeks after the breakup happens, the new partner of the ex-girlfriend starts staying over at the house. Right? Ex-girlfriend's new partner starts staying at the house and starts waking up with scratches.
Boy.
On their back and on their, like, ankles, sometimes on their face.
And no cat.
Nope, absolutely no cat.
Whoa.
No cat, and the dogs had a dog room that they stayed in. So, and the ex always kept her nails super, super short. And the partner doesn't have long nails either. So that was a continuous thing. Like, once the scratches would go away, they would come up in a different part. Meanwhile, I was living in an apartment, and Wade wasn't with me. I didn't have anybody with me at the apartment. Like, the apartment was very blank, right? That apartment was, like, nipple pink, and I hated it.
Nipple pink?
The whole inside was, like, a nipple pink color. I was like, why does it look like an areola in my living room?
It is so funny you say that, because I say one time, a few times I've talked about either painting a car pink or wrapping a car pink, and, like, whenever I talk with my dad about it, his response is always, as long as you don't do a titty pink.
Right.
I'm like, what does that even mean?
My nipple apartment. Pink. It was nipple pink.
Nipple pink. I'm telling you.
Me and your dad would be really good friends.
Y'all would just be BFFs.
That's so funny. So, I had nothing in the apartment with me. Meanwhile, the ex-girlfriend, her partner is getting all scratched up. She sends me a picture or a video one day of the remote that's sitting on, like, the entertainment center in the living room. It twitches twice, and then it flies off the entertainment center.
Whoa.
Yeah, and you see it just twitch, and then for it to fall off the entertainment center, it had to have been pushed, like, almost 4 inches. But she's sitting across the living room recording it, and you see it twitch, twitch, and then just fly off the entertainment center.
Poltergeist action.
Yeah, so Then they would be asleep in the middle of the night, and the bedroom TV would come on. Sound bars would come on. TVs would come on and off. Lights would go on and off. So she finally called me, and she was like, I don't know what happened, but I think you left somebody here.
Oh?
And I was like, well, I feel like Wade, you know. I feel like Wade didn't come with me. So I went over there for her and, you know, cleansed the place, did a protection, told Wade to come with me. You know, I have moved. I'm not here anymore. And then everything went quiet, right? Everything went quiet. So fast forward to when they moved, right? Ex-girlfriend and partner. I stayed friends, you know, typical lesbian, you know, yeah. I stay friends with a lot of my exes. So they moved to a different house and they had bought a lot of people are going to like cringe whenever I say this, but it was a good fucking mattress. Okay. So I'm like on a little like double mattress that we had purchased when we were together for our guest bedroom, and it was shit, right? Like it was absolute shit.
Garbage.
So the mattress that I had picked out when me and the ex were together was fucking heaven. Like, it was amazing. It was the best mattress. And I'd only gotten to sleep on it for, like, a year. But it was too soft for her. Or it was too firm for her. I don't know. It was one or the other. So, she didn't like it. Well, when they moved, she decided that they were going to get a new mattress. And I was all like, I'm friends with both of these people, right? Like, it was...
I mean, you slept with one of them.
Right, right. It was, the whole situation was messy. We ain't gonna get into that, but.
Yeah, the lesbian of it all.
Right. So, I was close friends with both of these people. So, whenever they were getting another mattress, I was like, I want my old fucking mattress back. It's a king size. It's perfect. It's amazing. So, the partner brings the mattress. No. When they moved into the new house, they took the mattress with them while, you know, I was getting box springs and stuff. And they sat in their new living room next to a new TV that they had gotten. And they moved away from the place that I put a protection on. So their TV, that TV and soundbar starts coming on. Well, it's an older house. So, of course... The ex-girlfriend just chalks it up to wiring, right? Because she's a huge skeptic, which good. I'm glad there are skeptics here. But whenever it's slapping you in the face, come on. So anyways, so the partner finally brings the mattress over to my house, right? At this point, I'm not living in an apartment anymore. I have two roommates. Moves the mattress in. I get it. I sleep in it. It's amazing. The first night I had slept so good. It was just awesome. Like, I had not slept that good since the last time I slept in that mattress. It was fantastic. I go to work that next day, and I had two roommates. We're going to call one
A and B. Or do we have cool nicknames?
Mm-mm. We don't.
Roommate A and roommate B?
We're going to roommate E and roommate L.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So, I worked with roommate L, right? And me and L actually were at work at the same time. Like, I could literally see her through the window at work. So, I knew she was there. Roommate E was at home. And at the part of the trailer... that was in the kitchen, like if you stepped on a certain part, it would squeak, but it would only do it if you stepped on it. Like, it wouldn't do it with the wind blowing. Like, we went through a fucking hurricane and it never squeaked unless somebody was stepping on it. So you could hear that thing like squeak, 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 squeak. Like, it sounded like somebody was walking back and forth into the kitchen.
Whoa.
So E texted me and L, and she goes, hey, are one of y'all here by any chance? And we were like, no, like, we're both at work. And she asked me if I had anybody over that was still at the house. And I told her no. And both my dogs were in the kennel. And she was all like, somebody's walking in our kitchen. And she stuck her phone out the window or out the door to like look straight down into the kitchen, and you could hear the squeaking. Ooh. And you could hear somebody walking because it was like squeak and footsteps
the whole time. Oh, that's so creepy.
I know. And so, yeah, got home. And I quickly realized after we were talking and after I like really sat into that room and just like really started thinking about it, whatever was at that house that me and my ex purchased, whatever was at that house attached itself to the mattress and made its way home with me.
Hitched a ride. Missed you.
Yeah, so I called him my mattress ghost. Because it only made sense. And I know it was male. I know it was not human. I know it was probably not a good entity. It enjoyed darker things. Like, there's been times that I had things, like, hanging on the wall. And it would, like, be swinging. Like, I would be cleaning something. Mm-hmm. And whenever I clean, like, my altar area, it would start swinging. And it would swing at a steady pace for, like, 10, 15 minutes and not move. I mean, and not stop swinging at that pace. And then whenever it stopped, like, I would go over there and I would try to, like, rock. Or I would try to step in that area or do anything to make it move again. And it never would. So then I laughed and I was like, well, that's his way of communicating with me.
I remember whenever we first started hanging out, you had told me about Mattress Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
And you had one of those, spiky ball,
uh-huh,
medieval that's torture what he would use, devices. Yeah. Yeah. You sent me a video of it from a vantage point that I think you were sitting on the bed or at the other side of the room. You were nowhere near it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just swinging at a consistent pace. It didn't slow or spiral or do anything that things would normally do when you knock them, you know? Like, you push it, and it just, like, it swings back and forth, and then it slows or it goes a different direction. And I still remember that video just consistently, left, right, left, right, left, right. Like, uh-huh, like a clock pendulum.
Yeah.
And I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Well, and then I had somebody once come over and they were all like, well, make him do something. And I was like, I mean, he's not a circus monkey, you know? So they're laying on my bed with the dogs and I'm sitting on the floor putting IKEA furniture together. And like 3 or 4 minutes after she had said that, I looked up and sure enough, it's sitting there swinging. And so I told her, I said, well, I mean, you said that you wanted him to do something. That's how he usually communicates with me. And she was like, shut up. And I said, yeah. I said, go touch it. She walks up, puts her hand out, and gets, literally, her hand gets 3 inches away from it, and it fucking stops. And, of course, I just laugh because I'm so, like, I'm comfortable with him. And I shouldn't have been comfortable with him, but I was very comfortable with him.
I mean, whenever I would come over, it was definitely a different kind of energy.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't, like, it wasn't you.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't typical, oh, there's something here.
Mm-hmm.
It was a, oh, there's something here. I wasn't necessarily uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But I was much more aware than I normally am. And I don't know if you remember this, but it moved my hair.
I think, was that whenever y'all came in? Was it just you in, or was that when you and Regina came in and it knocked all those...
I forgot about that.
Gravestone things that I had.
I forgot about that time. But no, it was the first time I came over, and it was just me.
Yeah.
And I was sitting at the edge of your bed,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
And I had, like, my hair down, and I distinctly remember I had like one little piece kind of hanging in front, and it wasn't like a push behind the ear or a tug, but it almost felt like something just kind of like gently lifted that hair chunk and moved it behind my shoulder, because I like felt hair moving, but there was no hand and no tugging. It was just like a movement, and I just kind of looked at you And you're like, what? And I'm like, something just moved my hair. And you're like, oh, that's mattress ghost.
Yeah, wow.
And I was like, oh. Well, he didn't pull it. And you're like, yeah, he's polite.
Yeah.
And then we just moved on from it.
Well, I mean, and I very much, like, coexisted with him. Like, and there were girls that I would bring over to the house that he did not fucking like. He would not, like, you know, I was single then, so we would hook up. And usually about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, they'd be like, okay, I'm going home. Like, they'd wake up. They would wake up and say, I'm sorry, I just can't sleep. I can't stay asleep. I feel like somebody's watching me. I gotta go. So, yeah, didn't do it to everybody. Like, he didn't do it to some of the ones that he fucking should have done it to. That's for fucking sure.
He had interesting taste. I mean, why was he playing with my hair? We didn't hook up.
That's true.
He's just like, what are you doing here?
I know.
Why is there...
You're sensitive. What are you doing?
What are you doing?
Boop. Can you feel that? Right.
Poke.
So, there was one time that I had gone to... like a group medium reading, right?
Oh, I remember this one.
Yeah. And a whole bunch of stuff happened there. But at the very end, she looks at me, like the woman that was doing it, and she was like, you have something attached to you. And I said, well, yeah. You know, Wade, obviously. And she goes, you have something not human attached to you. And I was like, oh, yes, I have that too. And she was like, huh, it's not good. And I said, well... I didn't think it was. And I said, but he's not going to hurt me. Like, I know that, you know? And she goes, does anybody else live in the house? And I said, yeah. And she said, how do they feel about it? And I was like, well, they hate him. And she said, you say him. And I said, yeah, because it's a masculine energy. She was like, but you know, it's not human. And I said, no, I know it's not human, but it's definitely a masculine energy. And so she told me that she was like, you really should get rid of it. She said, I am not coming to your house to get rid of it. But I can send you somebody that will deal with stuff like him.
Ooh.
And I was like, oh, okay. Deal with stuff. But when she said that, my anxiety fucking spiked.
He had a hold on you.
Like, my anxiety spiked so bad. And it was so weird to be all like, why? You know, like, what the fuck do I... But I couldn't tell, like, if it was me that was freaking out, you know, or if it was him. But I was so anxious to let him go. Like, I didn't want to let him go. I wanted him to stay there.
Well, because he brought you that comfort.
Right. Right. So then, and this is the end of his story. He's not at the house with me anymore, I don't believe. I mean, I'll find out, I'm sure, tonight, because with me saying this, he'll act out if he's still there.
You know, manifestation.
Yeah. So we're sitting after the reading, me and E are actually sitting in the driveway of the house talking, and E was all like, you know, yeah, L put a protection barrier to where he can't leave, like, Mattress Ghost can't leave the kitchen, right? So, Mattress Ghost can't get past the kitchen because L put the protection spell at the end of the kitchen. And I was like, oh, interesting. And she said, yeah. Well, as soon as she said that, I was like, huh. Like, I got this feeling of, oh, a protection spell? Like, okay.
Laughable.
Right. But it wasn't me thinking that, because L, she is very good at setting protection spell. So is E. Together, like, they're great at that, you know? They're actually the ones that helped me protect the ex-girlfriend's house whenever I left. So I knew, like, I have no doubt in their skills, right? So I think it was him. So anyways, that day I had gotten a bouquet of balloons, like of the helium balloons with a little weight on it. Mm-hmm. I had gotten those balloons and they were sitting on, from the salon girls, it was sitting on my kitchen table. And, you know, they were sitting on the kitchen table when we all went to bed. Me and the dogs went to bed, closed our door. E and L went to bed, closed their door. And 3 o'clock in the morning, my dogs fucking lose it. They're fucking barking, snarling, growling, all three of them underneath the fucking door. I assume it was the cat, you know, because roommates had a cat. I assumed it was a fucking cat. I didn't hear anything. Guys, shut up, go to bed, you know, like lay down. Dogs jump back in bed, lay down, no big deal. So I wake up that morning and, you know, I'm going to New Orleans that day. So I had to jump up and like rush out the door and get ready. Well, as soon as I open the door to go out into the fucking world, I notice that the balloons have moved like 30 feet from the kitchen table to the middle of the floor in the living room, which is past Elle's protection barrier.
Oh, a challenge.
Yeah. And it was just like sitting just right there.
It's like my shadow friend flipping on all the lights the next morning.
Yes, it's exactly like that.
What a bastard.
So I looked and my immediate thought was, because I don't immediately go to ghost. So my immediate thought was, you know, the cat. That's what the dogs were barking at, was the cat was playing with this. That makes sense. So I go and I'm taking Grunt to the store, you know, so one of the girls can watch him while I'm out of town. And as I'm in line at Whataburger, I get a text message from E saying, hey, did you move those balloons in the middle of the living room? And I said, no, I assumed that the cat was playing with them. She goes, it couldn't have because the cat was in bed with us last night and the door was shut.
Oh.
And I said, well, I didn't do that. And she goes, I know, me neither. And I said, well, take a picture of it. Like, take a picture of the balloons. And so she took a picture of the balloons and she sent it to me. And she goes, I don't think there's anything. And if you zoom in on that picture, there is obviously a white streak going straight through them. I know. Well, I'll put it on our Facebook page because I still have it.
I
asked her, I said, you know, are those balloons moving or anything? And she said, no. She took a video for me after that and they were staying still. And so, yeah, he did not like the challenge. He made both the roommates very uncomfortable. E wouldn't even look down the hallway if I wasn't in my bedroom.
It's so interesting that medium picked up on it. Did I tell you about the woman on a ghost tour I went on that picked up on my shadow person? So I've talked about the shadow person before on here, about waking up in the middle of the night, being aware of the fact that while this is what most people experience during sleep paralysis, this is not what I experienced during sleep paralysis. This is a very, very scary paranormal experience.
Yeah.
Well, I went on a ghost tour in Galveston for my birthday that year, and I don't know if I've talked about my gray lady before.
Yes.
So, I have this gray lady ghost that me and my mom have both seen, and she just kind of watches over me. I only see her at my parents' house, but we wrapped up this ghost tour, and everybody was just kind of sitting around on the curb, like, talking to the tour guides, and people like, oh, this one time I had this experience. Oh, this one time I had this experience. And I wasn't saying anything because you and I could write a novel over all of our experiences. And I wanted to hear everybody else's. So I'm just sitting there, you know, with my chin on my hand, on my knee, and just like listening. And one of the female tour guide is just staring at me. And I don't know what she's looking at. I don't know. And then someone was in the middle of talking and she just like talks over them and she's like, you got to get rid of it. I was like, what? She's like, you've got to get rid of it. It's not good. And I'm like, what's not good? And she's like, you know what I'm talking about. And it's going, she's like, you have someone at your home that is not of this plane that you like being there. They watch out for you. They're good. And I was like, yes, my gray lady. And she's like, yeah, it's going to hurt her. You need to get rid of it. I don't know what it is, but you need to get rid of it.
Oh.
And I'm like, what the fuck? And so I'm like, how do you know these things?
Right.
Like, speak your ways. And she's like, I don't know how to tell you. I just know that you've got something bad at your house and it's gonna mess with the good thing you like. And I'm like, how do ghosts get hurt? And she's like, I'm just telling you what my intuition is telling me. It was very dramatic. That was when me and my mom did like the sage and the fancy spell candle, and bless my mom's sweetheart, she was doing the best she could. But she was like, we can't let her get hurt. And I'm like, I don't know how ghosts can get hurt. I'm just going off of something a tour guide told me.
Your mom is an amazing creature.
She is so precious and so perfect. So, yeah, I had someone pick out my dark entity, too.
Yeah.
I'm like, huh.
I mean, and what was so crazy to me is that she could have just stayed on Wade. Because my grandfather came through, my dad's dad. My dad's dad came through, and then Wade came through. Mm-hmm. And then, or he had mentioned Wade, so then we were talking about Wade, and, like, that was it. Like, it was done. It was all done, and then a few minutes after we had ended and everybody was standing up, that's when she looked at me and she was all like, you have something else attached to you.
Weird.
Mm-hmm.
Weird.
I know. It's crazy.
This was a good spooky story episode. I liked it. It was like a relaxed fit.
Yeah. Yeah. Let us know if you ever want to hear any more. I have a lot.
Same.
I have new ones at this new house too.
Oh, cannot wait. I've got some for our house.
Yeah.
I've got some for our old apartment. My first apartment was a hotbed. Oh my God. I swear that apartment was on a hell mouth.
Oh my God.
It's a whole nother episode, Darklings.
Yeah. That's crazy. Now, this house, the woman that died there, my wife looks like her daughter.
What in tarnation?
Yeah.
I gotta see that, too. I gotta see that, too.
Yeah, yeah. So, it's fun. She peeks around corners and watches Brandy.
Hello!
Yeah. I don't like it. Brandy just gets annoyed. And she's like, quit staring at me. I'm like,
she's going, hey, girl, you're real cute.
Yeah.
It's like, I know you are too, ghosty girl.
So, but yeah, that's some of our ghost stories.
Yeah. So are y'all like so super stoked for our spooky stories in the woods episode? I know I am, but y'all are going to have to wait another week. Because this coming week, we are talking about another certain season that we are moving into.
Yes.
It's time to talk about Pisces.
Yay! Pisces.
Yep. So we're going to talk about Pisces, and then we're going to have our spooky stories in the woods.
I can't wait to hear you talk about Pisces. I'm going to make you come up with the nice things.
Alrighty then.
Pisces don't like Christy.
They don't. And that's the thing, is I really am very drawn to Pisces. And I feel that we would get along great if they gave me a chance. But they either, like, stare at me blankly like I have three heads, completely ignore everything I say, and just walk off. Or if they do actually, like, give me a chance, they don't stick around long. So...
one of my favorite Pisces in the world is she listens to our podcast.
Oh, great. That's just delightful.
But, you know, I don't know a lot of Pisces, but...
I don't either. They don't stick around.
Well, every, you know, the Pisces that I do know and that I am close to, she's scared of me.
Hmm.
Yeah. And I'm like, well, don't be scared.
Don't be scared. There's nothing to be scared of.
Don't be scared.
Well, there is, but...
I mean...
only if you...
don't fuck around and you won't have to find out.
Aquarian energy, ladies and gentlemen. All right, our beautiful darklings. We will see y'all next week to discuss our fishy, hopefully, friends. And happy hauntings.
Bye!